And if you're looking for a good summer read that mines fact and fiction, J. Courtney Sullivan's The Engagements is out in paperback. It tells some of the history of De Beers, the South African diamond company that from the 1800s to 1900s had a monopoly on diamonds through strong-arming, price-fixing, and advertising. Enter Frances Garrity. She was a copywriter at N.W. Ayer & Son in Philadelphia, one of the few women in the ad industry in the mid-20th century. She came up with the line that Advertising Age later called the slogan of the century.
The diamond engagement ring. How else could 2 months' salary last forever? A diamond is forever.
A diamond is forever. With that line, Frances Garrity inadvertently helped a company with questionable practices at the time sell millions of rings. Author J. Courtney Sullivan sets that historical gem and then surrounds it with over four decades of fictional marriages from a couple in the 1970s horrified at the prospect of the unmentionable divorce, to a modern-day gay wedding. We spoke with Courtney last year when The Engagements was first published.
I wanted to write a book about marriage for a long time, especially because of the way that the same-sex marriage laws have been changing so quickly for the better in recent years. I wanted to look at how the institution has evolved over the last century. I think sometimes we forget that it was only a little more than 40 years ago that a black man and a white woman couldn't legally get married in this country, that there was no such thing as no-fault divorce, that a woman couldn't get a credit card without her husband's permission.
You are also fascinated with rings and the history of diamond rings. And what you found and what you tell us through the story of Frances Garrity is that actually until very recently as well, it wasn't assumed that everybody would get a ring.
That's right. So in the 19-teens, diamonds had really fallen out of favor. In the 30s, the late 30s, De Beers went to this advertising agency, N.W. Ayer, which at that time was the best in the business, and said, help us make these an indispensable part of the lives of American couples.
Actually, you have the memo. They actually used the word propaganda.
That's right.
Right? Can you come up with some propaganda so people will buy rings?
That's exactly right. So Frances Garrity came along in the early 1940s to work for Ayer as a copywriter, and they put her on the De Beers account, and she wrote every De Beers ad from 1946 till 1970.
Well, and we should say it's not because they thought so highly of her. It was because she was a woman. There weren't very many women, and women were sort of stuck on the female accounts.
That's exactly right.
Right. But it is so interesting. She never marries. She is a frontierswoman in advertising. She's very conscious that she wants to stay up late with her dogs and play with copy. She's not interested in getting married.
No, not at all. And that's what was so fascinating to me about her. She really created these romantic ideas that we now associate with diamonds, but she herself was not romantic in any way. It didn't interest her because she was living in a time when really a woman had to decide, do I want to follow a career path or do I want to be married? Yeah. And obviously that's part of the story too, how that has changed over the years.
We should mention that the history of De Beers is fraught. You acknowledge all of that. But I, you know, more about these early working women, not just Frances, but her friend Dorothy Dignam.
That's right.
Did she really exist? And did she really keep a list of the things that men at ad agencies used to ask the one or two women?
Yes. Isn't that fantastic?
Unbelievable.
So Dorothy was a real person, too. She did all of the PR for the De Beers account while Frances did all of the copywriting. So the two of them together really created this idea of a diamond is forever and what we associate with diamonds today. But neither one of them ever married, actually. Dorothy didn't either. She lived with her mother.
Right.
Dorothy was the one who really made diamonds so prominent in Hollywood, the way that we see them now.
Part of what Dorothy did was write a column in which she talked about celebrities who were wearing diamonds. They did some of the first product placement with diamonds.
Gentlemen prefer blondes. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. That was coming straight from N.W. Ayer. And because De Beers had a monopoly, they were not allowed to be in this country at all, no physical presence. And so N.W. Ayer would only travel there once a year to Johannesburg to show them everything they had done.
Well, let's underscore that. This is all subterfuge.
Right.
They were not allowed to sell in the U.S. because they had this monopoly.
Right.
So instead, they hired this advertising company, and you never saw the word De Beers.
That's what's so amazing about these early ads. De Beers was pouring money into them, but the ads really didn't mention De Beers ever. They were just for diamonds. But, of course, De Beers owned all the diamonds, so you know, if you were buying them anywhere, it didn't matter because they were ending up with the money in their pocket.
Yeah. So here you have these two single women who don't give a hoot about getting married, helping to convince America's women that they have to get diamond rings and get married.
That's right.
And you take us into their stories. We meet Evelyn, a woman in her 70s. She's the one who is so concerned that her son might get divorced, which now there's so much more of it. Her fancy diamond ring is something she's a little uncomfortable with. It has to do with another marriage. James, the second story, he wants to buy an expensive ring for his wife. They don't have enough money. What are you saying about the promises that were sold by Francis and the reality of marriage?
Well, I think that we see this with modern wedding culture, too, this idea of the obsession with perfection. And the diamond ring symbolizes that, too. And it symbolizes big hopes and dreams and things that aren't necessarily involved in the nitty-gritty everyday life of a marriage. So there's this kind of funny juxtaposition between perfection and romance and then just what it is to get through marriage and be successful with it year over year.
Yeah. We mentioned that Dorothy had these lists. What were some of the things that men said to Dorothy?
My favorite question was, would a woman ever warble in the bathtub? I just love that question. Would a woman find it strange or objectionable to find a horse head on a bed sheet was one. Is Macy's singular or plural?
These were men who were trying to sell things to women, and they obviously didn't have relationships with their own wives or girlfriends to know these things. So they would treat these two women at this huge advertising company as almost like archaeologists.
Right.
And so anthropologists, right.
As you had asked, going back to your question, that Dorothy's lists were real, and she typed them up every single day over many years. Every time a man came in and asked her a question she was supposed to know the answer to because she was a woman. And it's funny because these two women were supposed to, you know, they were hired because they're women, and so therefore they'll understand what women want. But they're so different from your everyday American woman at the time that it's kind of hilarious that they were the ones speaking to them.
Yeah, and guiding the advertising to women.
Yes.
Well, it's also sad. Because, talk about a glass ceiling.
Right.
It's, you know, right on the first floor.
Right.
When Francis first comes up with the line that becomes the line of the century, the men in the agency start picking at its grammar. Is it grammatically correct?
Right.
And by the way, it was just something that came to her late at night.
The story in the book is what really happened. She wrote about it in a letter that she was a great procrastinator, and she knew that she had to do all of this writing, but she had forgotten that they asked her to create a little tagline for the ads. And it was really not a big deal in the moment. They just said, we've got to have a way to define this as diamond advertising, because before that, it didn't even say anything about diamonds.
It was fine art.
Right,
because, again,
exactly.
They couldn't mention De Beers. And yeah.
Exactly right. So she remembered late one night when she had finished her work, you know, 3 a.m, she said, oh, I forgot to do this line. And so she was exhausted. She scribbled something on a piece of paper. She said, dear God, send me a line. And then she scribbled something down and went to sleep. And in the morning, she looked down at what she had written, saw a diamond is forever. And as she said in her letter, I thought it would do just fine. She didn't think it was really incredible either.
Yeah.
But later, many years later, she said she was very grateful that it had been such an underplayed thing, because if everyone in the department had been asked to create a line, she thought this one, which really was the best, would have probably never come to see the light of day.
It's J. Courtney Sullivan. Her book, The Engagements, out in paperback this week. Can a film be far behind? Well, the book's been optioned by Reese Witherspoon's production company, so stay tuned.